This podcast is sponsored by GoDaddy.com. How about getting an extra $96 in free extras with your domain name from GoDaddy.com? Each domain includes free hosting with a website builder, a free blog, complete email, and much more. Just go to GoDaddy.com, and when you check out, enter your code POD25. That's POD25, and that'll save you an additional 10% and allow you to get a piece of the internet with GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to
Internet Marketing Unwrapped. Wrapped.
Now, here's Heather Vail.
Welcome to Internet Marketing Unwrapped, the world's first live teleshow, part teleseminar, part talk show, found online at internetmarketingunwrapped.com. I'm your host, Heather Vail, and every week I interview the Internet's top experts live to unwrap their most guarded secrets and help you unwrap your own potential for online superstardom and super wealth. If you'd like to ask a question at any point during the call, just press 1-1 on your telephone keypad and listen for your cue to ask your question. This week's guest is an online marketing guru that nearly everybody hears about when they first get started looking to make money online. That's because he was among the first and the best who figured out how to make this game pay off. Yannick Silver is the CEO of Surefire Marketing and the creator of numerous very successful online products, making him an internet millionaire at a very young age, but also helping others to achieve that status too. He's been featured as a success story case study in numerous books and magazines, including being recommended by Robert Allen in multiple streams of internet income. But he started out like all of us, just learning the ropes and trying to apply the marketing skills he had learned offline to a new career online. And now he's going to pass along some of the secrets he learned to you. Yannick, thank you so much for being here today on Internet Marketing Unwrapped.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Heather.
A lot of people on the internet are selling information about how to get rich quick. What's the right way to go about making money online?
Well, there's I don't know if there is one right way of making money online. There's a lot of different paths, and that's actually one of the most recent thing that I've been doing with my underground online seminars is bringing in a bunch of different people making money all sorts of different ways. I can tell you my path to making money online. And that has been selling content, selling ideas, selling information in all different shapes and forms.
What kind of different shapes and forms can information come in if we want to make money selling information online?
Well, probably the best, I'll give you my quick 2-minute story, and then I'll give you some examples from some of my students.
Okay.
My story is actually I started, doesn't seem that long ago, but I was one of the first people online, which is kind of scary to think, because a lot of my other internet buddies have been online even much longer than I have. I got started in 2000 when I literally had an idea at 3 o'clock in the morning for a website, and at 3 o'clock in the morning I leaned over and poking my wife my finger, and I said, "Hey, I got this idea for a site called Instant Sales Letters. I think it's gonna be really, really big." She's like, "Oh God, just go back to bed, please." And as entrepreneurs are, we $3,400, and then about $7,200, and then about $9,400 by the fourth month. And that's when people $3,400, and then about $7,200, and then about $9,400 by the fourth month. And that's when people started coming to me and asking me, how did you do this and what'd you do to make yourself so successful online so quickly? And like any good overnight success story, it was about 5-7 years in the making.
Yeah.
From studying solid direct response principles and other things like that. But as far as what kind of information, going back to your original question, my original site is, I call them kind of an odd name. I call them fish products. And by that, I mean, you've all heard the saying where you hand the man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach a man a fish, you feed him for a lifetime.
Right.
And I think that's complete BS. So a fish product is something that gives people a tool or pre-done for them, a fill-in-the-blank type, something. It's basically whatever you can do to hand people something on a silver platter, and that's a fish product. And that's a very successful formula for a product. And that was my first product, is the sales letters, which are fill-in-the-blank sales letter templates. And those, believe it or not, it's been 6 years now, and I paid no attention to this website. And just last year, every year, I check my numbers on different products, and that was $200,000 just on that one site.
Wow.
And it's gone over $1 million for a little silly $40 product. So it's pretty successful. You know, that was my first venture. And then, you know, like I said, after that, I started teaching other students what to do based on what I've done. And taking the fish approach, I have a couple students that have been very successful with it. One in particular is a woman named Liz Shearwood out of Texas. And she took my fish idea to heart and really dove into it full bore. And she created a you can research and I'll put up the sites and make money from it. She's like, well, I don't know. And so she decided to actually sell it and all the research to a limited amount of people. And she made $60,000 within cents. I was like, wow. You know, maybe we should even partner up and you can research and I'll put up the sites and make money from it. She's like, well, I don't know. And so she decided to actually sell it and all the research to a limited amount of people. And she made $60,000 within 30 hours. And the best part is she made that $60,000 as recurring because of the monthly type membership. And the really cool part about her story was her job let her go. This is her first project. Her job let her go because she was pregnant. And in Texas, I guess you're allowed after people return from maternity leave, you're allowed to simply fire them.
Huh.
And so she needed to get something right away up and going. I have students selling everything from guitar lessons online to salsa dancing, DVDs, doing very successful, nice six-figure incomes doing all those things. I have students selling potty training information, students selling, you know, much harder type material. I mean harder by like financial related information, all doing very well in six figures, stock market. It was interesting. One of my students was a guy out of Australia who had a stock market system that he kind of, there's lots of ways of delivering information products.
So it sounds like the secret is to find something that makes it easy for people that don't want to do the hard work.
That's one secret for sure. It could be a CD-ROM. It could be a big home study course. It could even be an event. So there's lots of ways of delivering information products.
So it sounds like the secret is to find something that makes it easy for people that don't want to do the hard work.
That's one secret for sure. That's one way because, you know, what it really comes down to is there's either pain, you know, trying to relieve a pain because if you're selling information, someone has a pain, you're going to try and relieve it, or to help them on, I don't know, training your cat or body training or guitar lessons or, you know, any numerous number of categories that my students are involved in. And it comes down to, you know, like what you said, making it nice and simple and easy for people. A lot of times it's a time-saving issue. A lot of times it's you're training your cat or body training or guitar lessons or, you know, any numerous number of categories that my students are involved in. And it comes down to, you know, like what you said, making it nice and simple and easy for people. A lot of times it's a time-saving issue. A lot of times you're doing all the research for them, all the legwork for people so they don't have to think. Sometimes it is fill-in-the-blank, you know, on the silver platter type products that really work well. So there's a lot of different variations to it.
Well, I guess before we set out making an information product, it would be a good idea to find out if there's an audience for it. What's the best way to do that?
For me, there's a couple things, and there's a couple ways of looking at it. It's either internally or externally. And a lot of times I will, if I'm trying to coach a student through this, a lot of times I tell them to start internally with what their hobbies and interests are and what their passions are. And, you know, some people will tell you that's not the right way. It's go find the market first and then create a product for them. But most people can't sustain a business where they're not interested in some way in the marketplace.
Yeah.
with their serving. And so that's why a lot of times I'll tell people to start internally and start with themselves and write down every single job they've ever held, every single hobby that they're into, every single thing that interests them, every single piece of advice that other friends come to them and ask them for. And the other thing about this is you don't need to be a world-class expert. So it's not that hard to become one, and especially to put yourself out as one, as long as you got, the background to back it up and the knowledge to back it up. But you don't need to be smarter than every single other person in your marketplace. Like say if you're selling, I got a pool table downstairs in my office, my very, very high-tech corporate office, which, by the way, I should mention something to people so they don't get the wrong impression of me. I am a total techno dunce, and that always helps assure people that they can do this too, because most people don't know how to put up their own websites or do any of the technical stuff, and guess what? I don't either. If you know how to do that stuff, that's fine. Sometimes it's a benefit, sometimes it's even a detriment because you're off doing $50 an hour work when you could be doing $500 an hour work, but we'll get into that. So starting, I lost my train of thought with...
You're talking about your pool table.
Yeah, my pool, that's what it was. The info product about how to play pool better.
Okay.
So, let's say I'm somewhat interested in pool, but I'm not any kind of world expert or anything like that. Now, you could, if you practice for enough time, or even if we're talking about a different subject, if you read on a particular subject, one of my mentors is Earl Nightingale, and he said if you read for 1 hour a day for 3 years, you become an expert on that subject. If you read for 1 hour a day, 5 years, you become a world expert in that subject. Now, I don't really think you could read about pool playing and become an expert, maybe about all the technicalities of it, but you'd have to really pledge of people who we've seen at tournaments or different places and simply video record them. And then it could be either, sometimes you don't even need to pay them. It's just for them to get to become almost like a publisher and get other people who already are experts and get them to essentially create a product for you. I've done many interview type products where it'd be very simple to go approach some of the top pool players and have them create. You're the one that has to be the idea person and think of the big picture. So let's say we want to create a product on the best pool tricks out there or something like that. And so we'd go to a bunch of people who we've seen at tournaments or different places and simply video record them. And then it could be either, sometimes you don't even need to pay them. It's just for them to get additional publicity. They're more than happy to do it. Or in other times, a very nominal fee or sometimes a donation to their favorite charity will work. You don't have to end up splitting the profits and the proceeds of the product. You can if you want to make it where, say, whoever is the... I don't know why I picked pool because I'm really not that well attuned to it. But my knowledge goes way, way, way back. Like Pretty Boy Floyd, which if anyone's a pool player on this, they might know who that is, or he might not even be alive for all I know, or Minnesota Fats or something like that. But let's say you got Minnesota Fats. I have no idea if he still plays pool anymore. But you could team up with him and let him be the main expert type person, the almost like your Colonel Sanders, and you pay them a royalty for their name and likeness and so on. And, that's a little bit more advanced, but there's so many different ways of skinning the cat on this that you don't have to feel like, oh, well, I don't know anything. You can also look at your friends and colleagues. What are their expertise in? Off the top of my head, my stepbrother he invests in real estate, but he does it in one little certain way, which guarantees him that he'll normally get 500-600% the rent that most normal landlords get. And it's a really particular way of doing it, and it's really interesting. So you could turn around and make that an information product if I wanted to work with my stepbrother, which I don't. But if I wanted to, I could create that, and we could, he could be the content person and I could be the marketing person. So there's all sorts of ways. And also, maybe we'll talk about later on public domain, which is another great repository of information. So going back to pool playing again, we could find public domain content, which is content that's lost its copyright, or government content, and then therefore it makes it free, public domain makes it free for the public to use in any way, shape, or form they want. So we could republish an old, a billiards secrets publication and republish it in any sort of ways. We could even use it as a spotter for creating videos with our experts, or we could just republish it as is. So there's so many different ways of going at it.
Okay, let's go back for a second to when you said you were a techno dunce. So if we don't know a lot about computers, but we want to be making a living online, what do you do?
You don't do it. Don't do the techno stuff.
Who does it?
It's easy to find people who do it. And going back to what I mentioned about $50 an hour jobs, you have to realize what your time's worth and what your core skills are. For me, it's been copywriting, creating relationships with people, and product creation. So the more I stray from that, the less money I make typically. And if I'm sometimes, every once in a while, I think I have an artistic bent to myself, and I might try and play around with, my paint program or something and create a graphic. And that's, an hour wasted when I could hire somebody else to do it for, it'll take them 5 minutes and it'll turn out 5 times, 10 times as much better than what I can create spending an hour or 2 hours on it. For the techno stuff, you just have to kind of know what you want. And so I'll tell my tech guy, I have now, we've grown where I have a technical person on retainer. I have a very minimal staff. Actually, my only employee is my wife, Missy. And we have a virtual assistant and a tech guy, and that's it. And then we also bring other people in on a project-by-project basis as needed. So for my tech guy who's on retainer, I'll just tell him, hey, I want this little countdown timer or something. Or I want, I want to create me an iframe. That sounds a little technical, but my friends will tell me what it's called, and I'm like, here, go get me an iframe, which I have no idea what that is or what the code is behind it or anything like that. But you just need to kind of direct them and tell them what to do. And it's not that hard once you find someone who's reliable, who's willing to work and do the tech stuff for you. So there's lots of places where you can hire freelancers like rentacoder.com, elance.com. Also, your local college campus is a really good place to look for people. And Craigslist.org is, I've heard, a really good place as well to find some web designers. The big thing is finding someone who doesn't flake out on you. So a lot of times you may want to even hire a couple people for one project and see who does the job right, and then stick with them.
Well, I can see if you brought in a college student and you made them an intern, they might flake off on you, but you're saying that even if you're paying people to do a job, sometimes they won't finish it for you?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Huh.
It's very common, but that's why I usually, if I'm hiring somebody as a freelancer that I haven't worked with them, I'll probably hire two of them, and just one person will do it and one person won't. And, yeah, it's amazing because you're paying them, but the fact of the matter still is that not everybody does what they say they're going to do. The other point about me being a techno dunce, and this is really important, and people get hung up on this all the time, is they want to learn the HTML and all the little stuff behind the web, and you know what, who cares? It's just like when you walk down, I don't know, like in my basement, when I walk down here and turn on the lights, I have no freaking idea how the lights turn on when I turn the switch on. I have no idea how the power gets in from the power plant down the road and through the wires, or, for me, it might as well be magic, but I could care less. And that's the same thing on the web. You just can't get stuck trying to learn all the techno stuff unless you really like that. But, I'll give you a caveat, and one of my good friends and business partner on a couple projects, a guy named Jim Edwards, he knows how to put up all the websites and do all the techno stuff. And if you ask him, he'll tell you that sometimes that's the worst thing he could be doing, because he'll be spending his time fiddling around with a piece of JavaScript or whatever to try and figure out why video is not playing or something like that, when he should be writing a sales letter or writing email copy or doing something proactive.
Right. Okay, well, besides all the big numbers that you mentioned, how people are able to make a lot of money quickly with a good info product, what are some of the reasons why info products are such a good thing to sell online?
There are so many reasons. And like you said, Heather, the big numbers. There's also small numbers. And if people want to start moonlighting on the internet, they can do that too. I'm a big advocate, a big fan of that you don't have to give up your day job or whatever you're doing, and the internet can just be an additional revenue stream for you, even if it's a couple hundred dollars a month. I have a bunch of projects that are just a couple hundred dollars a month that are like my little online oil wells. I don't even think about them or touch them or do anything to them. And they run in all sorts of different niches, like from artists to fitness to my wife has a site called Instant Thank You Letters that makes her a couple hundred dollars a month. But the recent information products are my favorite. One, there's no competition. And I know that sounds really strange to say, but there's no competition because you own the copyright on your intellectual property. There's definitely going to be other people in your category and in your niche. You know, there's other people selling how to play pool better, but nobody else can have the same product you have if you've created it. So that's why I say there's no competition. There's incredibly huge profit margins if you're selling something that's just a download, you know, like an ebook where people will pay you to access it and people will download this ebook or it could be downloading an audio file or it could be access to a membership site. The profit margin is about 97%. 3% goes to a credit card company. And it's, you know, you don't get those kind of margins anywhere else. Even if you're selling, which I do a lot, is selling very hard, the hard info products where DVDs, CD-ROMs, CDs, manuals, home study courses, and so on, the profit margin on that is very, very high. It's usually sometimes as high as 10, 20 to 1. So if something could cost me $40 and I could sell it for $300, $400 because the value of an information product is not in the magnetic tape and the diskette or the paper. It's in the information that's on those pages or on that material. Just for instance, I have my first information product I ever started was going out to dermatologists and cosmetic surgeons, helping them increase their practice. And that went away for a little while because I got so enthralled with the internet and I was doing so well that I kind of let it lapse. But I revamped it, and right now it's an $8,000, essentially big box of stuff. And then every single month, our doctors pay us $4,000 a month to do some things for them. So it can be a very high-priced information product, but it delivers an incredible value for them. So that's one of the things, and some of the other reasons, and I'll go over those real fast, is you do the work once, get paid over and over again. You can work from anywhere you want, as long as you can find an internet connection. My wife and I, just this last summer, went away for 3 weeks to Manhattan Beach in California, and just took our laptops and our child, and that was it. So I could go play some beach volleyball, and 2 years back, we did it for 2.5 months. You can literally work from anywhere you want. You can set up your business so it works on autopilot. You know, we have virtual assistants that handle a lot of the day-to-day nitty-gritty stuff, so there's no need for employees, and there's incredibly low startup costs. I mean, you can get, I don't know any other legitimate business that has so much profit potential that you could start for literally a couple $100.
Actually, that leads us into another good point, because it seems that digital products can often be more expensive than something that you buy, for instance, at a bookstore. So a typical book, they seem to be hanging around the $15 to $20 mark lately, but it's not uncommon to pay $50, $100, or several hundred dollars for a good ebook or a good e-package. So obviously we can't be pricing the product based on how much time and effort we put in or what it costs to produce the product. How do you determine the value of your product and decide what the price point should be?
That's a great question. Yeah, absolutely. You know, things online. The best part about when you're selling online, for the most part, if you're selling an information product, is that you're selling in a vacuum. You're not on Amazon where someone's browsing through all the different how to play pool books, or you're not competing, you know, at Barnes & Noble in the real world where people have four or five different pool books that they can look through and browse through and decide which one they want. And you're not stuck with the same kind of pricing that books have to have. In fact, you definitely don't want to have the same kind of pricing. You don't want to compare yourself to a regular book, or else you'll get stuck with just a very low selling point. Now, the price that you're going to charge depends on a lot of factors. It depends on the marketplace you're going to and how much value your product's delivering. So if I'm selling something to stock traders, I can charge a whole lot more for it than, you know, let's say, I'll give you a real world example. My wife's Instant Thank You Letters product, she charges $15 for that, because thank you letters for someone, it's not worth nearly as much as what it would be to get like an ebook on the next biggest the best stocks to buy for 2007 or something like that.
Right.
That would be worth 100, 200, 300, even more. It's based on the value that it can provide. Just like when I was talking about the cosmetic surgeons where they're paying $8,000 for a big box of stuff initially, it's because each patient is worth $5,000 to them. So it depends on a return on investment, or is it a highly passionate marketplace? Like the golfers are a very, very passionate marketplace, and you can price things a lot higher for golfers than you can for, say, tennis players, which essentially share the same demographics. So it's passion in the marketplace, what they're willing to spend, what they've spent before on other things. So there's a lot of things, but one of the big mistakes is people price their offerings way too cheap. They don't give them enough value. They don't think that they're worth enough. And it's really easy to do different tests on the internet. And I found it really interesting when just my flagship product, I've done some tests, not nearly enough, but I don't do enough testing as I should. But if you are selling anything, you can try this experiment and try just raising your price and seeing what happens, and counting the orders, counting the visitors that come to your site, and see what happens to your profits. Like when I went from $29.95 to $39.97, we had an actual increase in conversion, so an increase in profit. I tried it again at $49.95, and in that time we had a decrease in conversion, but an actual overall increase in profit. But since sales letters is mostly a front end product for other products that we sell, I wanted more customers, so I went back down to $39.97. But you'll see interesting differences, because pricing has a very psychological factor for most people, because everyone's been taught you get what you pay for, and that's why a Mercedes costs more than a Hyundai, and probably as far as the parts go and the raw materials, I don't think it's that much more, but the psychological factor of pricing is more expensive. The shortcut is that it must be better. And I have a Mercedes, which I'm getting rid of shortly, but it's that thing's been in the shop more times than my wife's Honda that we have, and it's crazy.
Huh. Well, actually, that's interesting too, because you know, a lot of people don't believe that the information they've put out is really worthy of high prices. What are the qualities that set a good information product apart from a bad one, so you can feel confident that, yeah, I know I did something good here?
I don't know if there's any particular factor. There's something that you're going to run into, which is the big problem, is being a perfectionist. And especially for someone that's trying to release their first information product out there, is that they worry about that it's not exactly right, and it's not good enough, and that hurts more people than anything else, because a product not released makes you absolutely zero.
Right.
And one of the ways that you can get over that is you can actually do a pre-publication release. You can do you can sell it before it's done. Now, you know, I'm not an attorney, so I'm not advocating doing what's called dry testing. But there is ways of pre-selling it, as long as you're hopefully going to deliver it within 30 days, which is the legal aspect, as far as I understand. And I've done that before, where I've had an information product sitting in my computer, and I'm like, wow, this isn't making me any money. Let's just put out an email and do a pre-publication on it, and we'll get some orders, and and then it'll motivate me to actually finish it. But as far as what makes a good information product versus a bad one, for me, what I look for, if I'm on the other side of the fence and I'm actually shopping for information, and I spend a lot of money on information and invest in myself, which I'm a big advocate of, and I think a lot more people should really take that. I know it almost sounds self-serving because I sell resources to help people, but I follow my own advice, and I actually spend about $50,000 every year on my own education, because one good idea is worth a tremendous amount to me. Now, it wasn't always $50,000, because as I've increased my revenues and profits, that education fund has increased as well. But I firmly believe in investing in yourself. So if I'm on the other side of the fence and looking for a resource to invest in, what I want to know is, has this person actually done it? and do they walk the talk, not just talk the talk, because that's a whole lot easier. And especially in the internet marketing world, it seems almost prominent that there's a lot of people who only sell how to get rich quick on the internet, and that's how they make their money. And to me, there's something wrong with that.
They're only getting rich by telling people how to get rich.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that there's something a little fishy about that. And they have really good core marketing skills, but I think that there's something seriously a little bit out of whack there. And so that's one of the things that I look for is the person and experts in their own right. And then as far as if we're trying to assemble an information product that's going to be the most useful for people, like we said at the beginning, the fish product, so anything we can do to make it fill in the blank easy for people, to deliver something on a silver platter for them. I don't know how many websites I've spawned as instant whatever after they've seen instant sales letters. And it's a great way of positioning yourself instant. Everyone wants that instant whatever. So if there's some component of that, it's really just thinking about it from the other, from the user's perspective and trying to deliver everything that you could to them to make whatever their end result is easier, better, quicker, faster, less of a hassle.
Right. Okay, well, let's zero in a little bit on public domain. What's the best way to make use of information that we find that's in the public domain in order to make our information products?
Okay, let me just back up for 1 second and explain to people what public domain is. Some people know what it is. Some people might be confused about it. Public domain is what I mentioned before that the public can freely use, and it essentially falls into 4 different categories. Ideas, facts, names, titles, blank forms is one category. Works granted or donated to the public is another category, and P.T. Barnum's probably the best example of that. He donated his autobiography to the public. A lot of times software is donated to the public. A lot of the propeller heads, and I say that lovingly, love to donate their software and code to the public. There's government works, which is, I'm talking about U.S., and this is typically it's all federal U.S. works are public domain, and then some state are. And then where I spend a lot of time is formerly copyrighted works where their protections expired or a work has lost their copyright for some reason. Now, once again, I'm not an attorney, nor do I play one on TV, so I'm giving you this reasoning from best of my marketing perspective and actually working with public domain for many, many years before I ever shared it with anyone else. I've been responsible for, I don't know, tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of additional dollars for me before I ever let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. It was something that we've used on instant sales letters as an upsell, where you ask Heather, what are the best uses for it? One of the best is as an upsell to whatever you're selling. And, you know, if you're taking notes here, this is a good place to put a bunch of stars and asterisks, because if you're selling anything at all online, as soon as you get a prospect to that decision of, yeah, I'm gonna buy this thing, they whip out their credit card. And if you present another offer to them, and it doesn't even have to be that compelling, even if the offer sucks, about 10% of the people will go for it.
Oh, wow.
No matter what. So it's just all free money for you, and you can get as high as on instant sales letters, our upsell percentage is 66%, where people spend an additional $15. And that upsell, half of it is public domain work. So, you know, not many people, I never really told anyone until I started teaching about public domain and had a profit from it that work was public domain work. So that's a great way of using public domain. I mean, there's so many other uses for it. You can sell a product by itself, obviously. If we found a book, like I've just as an example to show people, I have an entire sequence where I actually did Camtasia videos, which are screen capture videos of step-by-step, of every single step in the process of what I did. I took a work that I found at a used bookstore. It's called Anatomy and Drawing, and it's for artists who want to learn how to draw people better, draw hands better, draw faces, and so on, so all parts of the body. And it was by a very distinguished illustrator, very distinguished artist, teacher at New York State, I can't remember where, And so I found this book and I researched if it was public domain or not, and I found out that it was. And then I just simply digitized it. I had it scanned in and went about selling it. And now it sells every single day. I mean, we make, it's one of those little online oil wells that I really just did it as an example to show people that you could make this work in almost any marketplace, because this is selling to artists. And what's the saying about artists, Heather?
Starving artists. Never have any
starving
money.
Starving artists, exactly. Yeah, but this is not exactly the best marketplace out there. And it's doing about $300-$400 a month, just, you know, without me really paying any attention whatsoever to it. And I built up a list of like 10,000 artists, which I hardly ever, actually almost never, email them about anything. So if I actually paid it some more attention, I could easily ramp that up to $3,000 a month or probably even more. But that's one way of doing it. It's just taking a work, turning it into a digital product and selling it. I could just as easily have copied it and sold it as physical work. I have some of my students and people that learn about public domain that use public domain works as free giveaway ebooks, and then inside the ebook are other things that they make money on. Some people use them as content where they can, with public domain, it's really very exciting because, and this doesn't just apply to books, it applies to movies, it applies to illustrations, it applies to songs, it applies to sheet music. All this stuff applies to any kind of intellectual property that could be copyrighted. And, you know, like there's a famous movie that fell into public domain, the Little Shop of Horrors, the original one, is public domain. And not that many people know that. It's, you know, it's a very, very good Hollywood film and it fell into public domain. So that means you and I and anyone else listening to this can literally take that one, the original one, and go out and sell it or do whatever we want with it, use it as background on our website or anything. But what I was getting to is that you can cut and paste little pieces of it, use it as articles. You can use it as search engine food, and a lot of people do AdSense with public domain. So there's so many different things you can do with it.
So then that leads us to the question, how do you actually know that something's in the public domain? Because you mentioned the movie that not too many people know about. And, you know, there's other works that people wrote early in the century that are now coming into public domain, but sometimes also they get republished or recopywritten with a new copyright date.
Right.
So therefore that's not in the public domain.
Yeah, you want to be careful with this. And you know, there's a couple dates to keep in mind. Is anything published in the U.S. before 1923 is public domain. Anything from 1923 to 1963 is public domain if it wasn't renewed in its 28th year. That means that if something was copywritten in 1950 and it wasn't renewed in 1978, then it's public domain and falling into copyright. And the cool thing is legal experts estimate that 85% of works were not renewed. This is for written works. Film is less, about maybe 15% weren't renewed, somewhere around there. From what I remember, but it's still a huge body of work, especially in the written material, and literally millions and millions of pages out there that are public domain. What I always do, just to be on the safe side, is there's ways of researching it yourself. There's copyright.gov, and not copyright like copywriter making sales copy, but copyright like in the legal sense, so copyright.gov is a place that you can research it. There's also a very long URL that I can't give out because it's too long and nobody will write it down right. It's from the University of Pennsylvania. They have what are called CCEs, which are copyright extensions that you can go and search for. But to me, it's not even worth it. I'll hire an attorney, and it's very reasonable to research a work and stuff. For this one attorney that I recommend, they can just use my name. I don't get anything out of it. But it's guy named Mike Hynek, HYNAK.com, and it's like $75 for work to research it, and they give you, they'll go research all the copyright files and then give you a little piece of paper that says yes or no, if this was renewed or it wasn't renewed, and then at least you've done some of your legal due diligence in case anyone comes back to you later on and says, well, this isn't public domain. Now, you mentioned something interesting, Heather, with stuff that was maybe from the turn of the century, and it's been republished. What's interesting is there's, like, let's say there's a work called The Science of Getting Rich is a real popular one.
Yeah. By
Wallace D. Waddles. Great work. And it was written, I believe, in 1911. So, you know, because that was written before 1923 and copyrighted before then, it's automatically public domain. Now, if you go to Amazon and do a search for Science of Getting Rich, you're going to see a bunch of different versions of it created by a bunch of people and published by a bunch of people. The cool thing about public domain is if something doesn't get out of public domain just because I use it or you use it or anybody else uses it, but you have to, I always tell people to find the original version of it so they can be sure what was changed and what wasn't changed. Because if we're smart, we take Science of Getting Rich and then make some changes to it, so then we own the copyright for it. And you're going to probably ask me next, what are the changes?
Yeah.
It depends, and there's no real clear-cut definition of what changes would constitute having a whole new copyright. But, you know, if you do things like put in your own illustrations or put in your own comments throughout the book, or, by the way, even if you translate a book from, let's say, English to, I don't know, Mandarin or something like that, you own the copyright on that translation, which is really interesting. Another great way of doing things is, you know, talking about Science of Getting Rich, my friend Rebecca Fine did this, and then she owned the copyright. Was she read the original book onto audio CD. It's also a lot of people start asking for it that way, and then she owns the copyright to that. And I don't even know if she changed one word or not when she reread it, and she didn't have to because she owned the copyright. So, you know, there's lots of ways of doing that, but I always tell people find the original work because you don't want to try and take something that somebody else has got, and you don't know what they've changed, what they haven't changed, and if it's enough to sustain a new copyright or not.
Okay. Well, we've got someone from the audience that wants to ask you the question, so I'm just going to go to them right now. Hi there. What's your name?
Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
I have a 1987 copy of Hoyle's Book of Rules, okay? Is that considered public domain?
Well, I have to reiterate, I'm not an attorney, so I can't give you legal advice on it. But 1987 most likely is not public domain.
I'm sorry, 1887.
Oh, 1887.
Oh. 1887.
Yeah, if you have the original one.
I have the original.
You know, if it wasn't republished by somebody else, if you have the original, then yeah, I'd say 99.999% is public domain.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
If anyone else has a question, just press 1-1 on your keypad and you can ask Yannick your question. And in the meantime, we had mentioned earlier on, Yannick, that you have a ton of successful info products that deliver very valuable and down-to-earth real-world information without all the hype. But we wanted to focus this episode to help people create their own info products. So we've chosen two of your products that give them the skills and tools they need to do that should they decide that this is how they'd like to make their money online. Could you tell everyone what we put together for them with Instant Internet Profits and Public Domain Riches?
Yeah, absolutely. Heather, actually, I put together two products for you guys, two resources. And one is if you have your own idea for an information product and you want help with that, that's a product called Instant Internet Profits. And that's literally my blueprint from how I went from zero to over $51,000 in my first 6.5 months online. Working out of the corner of my living room in my one-bedroom apartment, and that one sounds like an infomercial, but it's true. And the funny thing is, I haven't really. We have a nice, fairly big house now, and I still have about 10 square feet that I work out of. So you don't need a lot of room to run a very successful business. But that course is a 6-week course, and it was. Derived from an e-class that I did where students paid $1,500 to be mentored by me, and step by step, week by week, you know, here's the assignment for this week, here's what you learn, and then there's a homework for each week for 6 weeks. And you also get actual critiques by me. So week one is idea generation, and you get critiqued by me what your ideas are and if I think that they're going to fly or not, and how well I think the marketplace is going to receive them. And then after week six, you also get another critique coupon from me, which is the ability for me to critique your actual website or sales letter, which is very, very powerful. It's not, I don't just go and give you guys just one little paragraph that says, yeah, this is good, this is bad. It's actually a very thorough critique. It's not a rewrite, but it's a very thorough critique of each part of your sales letter, which is one of the most important parts of selling online. So that's a whole entire blueprint. That goes for $697. Heather asked me to do something special for the people on the phone, and we decided to do $100 off. So what is the link that people can go to, Heather?
I gave them a landing page so they could look at both of the offers. It's marketingunwrapped.com/instantriches. So marketingunwrapped.com/instantriches. And by the way, I'm still in the mode of putting together my own websites and not outsourcing them. So, you know, if my web pages look like crap, that's why.
Get somebody else to do it. You can focus on more money-making activities.
Yeah.
But the other thing that Heather wanted me to do is we're going to be anyone who gets this is going to get a $100 discount. They just have to put in the coupon code 100OFF. So 100OFF, and you'll get $100 off that price. And there's also a nice three-pay option. Now, the other course is if you're interested in information products and you want to steal your own information products, and I say steal in quotes, kind of tongue-in-cheek, because that's using public domain information. And this is roughly the same kind of format where it's a week-by-week. This time it's 8 weeks because the first 2 weeks is us finding and researching public domain works and understanding them. And this is the same deal. You have a homework assignment after every single week, but there's no personal critique from me. What you do get in this, which is really fabulous, is what I mentioned earlier with that project I created for the figure drawing book, the anatomy drawing book, is me, I think it's 36 or 34 videos, I can't remember, full-length videos. It's just like pop in the CD-ROM and you watch me do every single piece of, you know, working from A to Z, and you see me go through the entire process of creating the site, writing the sales letter, coming up with the product, working on the bullet points, working on the bonuses, creating the offer, getting affiliates, getting traffic to the site. Every single aspect of it, that one little CD-ROM is worth the entire price of admission alone. And that's also $697, and you can get $100 off that course as well, and it comes with a payment plan if you like. Three-pay plan, and just use the same coupon code, 100 off. Something else that I put together for your people, Heather,
okay,
is we didn't mention this before, but I thought we were going to cut the sales on this, but the Underground Online Seminar is something that I do each year now where I bring in real people who are making real money online. Last year we brought in people who are doing over $94 million online. We sell a limited number of DVDs from the event, and right now they stop going on sale at 12 midnight tonight is when they get pulled off the marketplace. And so I created a link especially for your listeners, Heather, and it's at surefiremarketing.com/Heather, SUREFIRE, marketing.com/Heather, and there's a four-pay option on that, so it makes it really easy.
Actually, it's interesting that you bring up that product because Liz Sherwood, who you had mentioned earlier, was one of your success stories. I interviewed her for another information product, which was actually put together by interviewing experts, which you had mentioned was a good way to put together an info product. And she had mentioned that one of the reasons why she was so successful is because she had invested in your previous Underground DVDs. So they're obviously very effective. Got a good success story there.
Yeah, I mean, we get incredible testimonials back from people because the best thing about these Underground DVDs and also the live events, like I said, it's not the same usual suspects. It's not the same people you see speaking at every event. I really work hard and work. I have a pretty large Rolodex of people in the internet marketing world and then call in favors from friends of a friend and get all these people who are doing all kinds of really, really interesting stuff online and making money in all sorts of different ways from AdSense to selling information to buying advertising to selling membership sites. It really runs the gamut.
I guess one quick point we should cover is we were talking about putting your whole business on autopilot because that's the way that you're going to be working on your business instead of working in your business, is getting it so that it's running itself and you can go to the beach or hang out with your wife and your kids and do whatever you want. What are the secrets to putting that business on autopilot so you're not spending 16 hours a day working on it?
I don't think it's a quick 2 or 3 or 4 minute answer. There's a lot of different things that go into it. I'll give you some of the basics. Obviously, it's having an ongoing stream of traffic coming in,
mm-hmm.
because without traffic getting to your website, you know, you're not gonna make any sales. So what I've really focused and keyed in on is building an affiliate network. And for those people that are a little unsure what that is, it's getting other websites, other people with email lists, other people who have skills like search engine optimization to essentially be your salesperson. And I have 40,000 plus affiliates in our main Surefire Marketing affiliate program. And now not all those people, it's only a tiny percentage who actually drive traffic to our site, but still that tiny percentage is about 50% of our traffic and 40% of our sales. So it's a very significant chunk of people. I don't know the exact figures, but I think we paid out over $500,000 from September of this year to January. So, you know, in a 9-month period, we paid out over $500,000 to affiliates and partners. So obviously a big chunk of revenue comes from these people. And what I say is that I could not turn off the traffic unless I literally shut off our websites, because all these affiliates have links in all sorts of different places, whether it's on their website or in email autoresponders or in articles or in ebooks or all sorts of things. And the more you can get these automatic traffic generators in place, the better your business is going to be and the more stable it's going to be, so that you really can run it on autopilot. Now the other factor is conversion, which is the sales copy. And so once people hit your site, it's the sales copy that sells them and gets them to reach into their wallet and pull out their credit card and pay for whatever you're selling. So once you have a really good sales letter in place, it is an automatic salesperson for you 24/7. Never calls in sick, never gives you a bad attitude when it comes into work or anything like that. It just sits there, and every time a visitor hits your site, they hit the same sales letter, and it's pretty amazing. As long as your traffic sources are relatively the same, you're going to see the exact same conversion rate over time. So it's very predictable. If you bring me 100 visitors today, I'll know that I can. That out on the other end, we're going to have X number of sales because of the sales copy. So that's another aspect of it. Now, the third aspect is some of the admin and nuts and bolts of your business. And, you know, like I said, we have a virtual assistant that handles a lot of the customer service. A lot of the customer service goes through a help desk, which is a really good resource and tool that helps us keep track of our customer service and so that things don't get lost, because emails get lost a lot and phone calls are not always the best way of getting in touch with us, but a help desk typically is one of the best ways. And then the virtual assistant can go in there and deal with customer service issues. And when orders come in, if it's a digital product, you want something set up so that people can get it automatically, self-service, and you don't have to worry about anything. And then if it's a physical product, your ideal situation is if that order gets passed along to whoever fulfills your product, and then you don't have to worry about it. Now, that part of our business is not completely automatic, because we have a couple different fulfillment houses. So right now we've just set it up so we manually forward the orders on. But that's probably about one of the few places that we have a lot of manual interaction.
Okay, so just to recap, if they're interested in instant internet profits or public domain riches, both of them are $100 off if you use the special promo code 100OFF. It's also, the promo code is on the landing page when you get there, so you can just copy and paste it. And that's at marketingunwrapped.com/instantriches. So you'll see instant internet profits and public domain riches. Take your choice. Which do you want to focus more on? You get $100 off on either one that you go for. which is a great deal because you heard some of the numbers that Yannick was saying earlier on about the sales numbers that can come in on a digital product. So if you're going to invest in doing a good digital product and you're going to get Yannick to give you critiques along the way, that's a pretty valuable package. So any final quick words that you want to leave people with if they're out there going to make their first information product and make it a success?
Yeah, there's two things really. One is not get bogged down thinking about every single thing that you have to do. It's where a lot of my students fall down is they think, well, I gotta write a sales page. I gotta create the product. I gotta write an e-zine article. I gotta get some ads out there. I gotta do some search engine positioning. I gotta get affiliates. I gotta, you know, on and on and on and on. There's so many aspects of this business that it can be overwhelming. And you wanna, A, latch onto something that really makes sense for you. Like for me, it was affiliate marketing because that to me seemed like one of the most solid ways of growing my business because I didn't have to always worry about search engine positioning and the search engines rewriting the rules and different things like that. So, you know, think about what makes sense to you and then you don't have to do absolutely everything. But what you do need to do is one proactive thing a day. And especially if you've got a real job, a real day job, or you're just doing this as a part-time thing, that's even more important because you got even less time, you got a much more limited amount of time. So you have to really make yourself be accountable to this one proactive thing a day. And one proactive thing a day is not reading your email or going to discussion forums or whatever. You can easily get caught up in some soap opera stuff there. You want to do one proactive thing a day, whether it's writing new headlines, working on the offer, mind mapping out your product, something that's going to move you measurably forward, and then you'll get to where you want to go. And even if you can't see every single step along the way, you can think about it like you're in a very thick fog, and you can only see 100 yards ahead of you. But when you move those 100 yards, you're going to see the next 100 yards, and then you're going to see the next 100 yards. So don't worry if you can't see every single step, but just go out there and do that one proactive thing a day.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Yannick, for being here today and helping us unwrap how to make a great information product through instant internet profits and public domain riches. Again, they're available at marketingunwrapped.com/instantriches. And for anyone else listening in, next week we have Rosalind Gardner, who's going to be talking about affiliate marketing. So that's from the other side that Yannick's talking about. He's telling you now how you can get affiliates working for you. But if you want to be one of those affiliates selling other people's products, next week Rosalind Gardner is the one to listen to. So thank you so much, Yannick, for being here today.
My pleasure. Talk to you soon.